Proudly presented by the U.S. Army, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a chance to reconnect with a veteran we met years ago on this program now that his ship, the aircraft carrier USS Hornet, has been discovered by the research vessel Petrel 3.5 miles deep on the ocean floor. It was late October 1942 in the Battle of the Santa Cruz Islands that the carrier was sunk. 140 of the ship's crew of 2,200 lost their lives that day. Then 19-year-old Bob Cole was one of many more to be wounded.
My job during the battle is we were on the second floor in the forward mess hall. And what we did was put the bomb, the vanes and fuses on the bombs and send them up to the hangar deck or flight deck. I don't know if you want me to go on for that.
Yeah, I don't think very many people have put fuses on bombs, especially not during a war on an aircraft carrier. So I think you have a pretty unique story to tell there.
This is on the second deck in the forward mess hall. There were 35 of us down there in that mess hall, and we tripped up the elevator as fast as we could. And what happened, the Japanese bombers came off the island of Guadalcanal, which they own, and they just kept bombing us and bombing us. We didn't have kamikazes hit us. They've hit right at the flight deck and hit where the motors and all that, the control tower is. And one of the bombs came right down the elevator where we were and exploded. And the shrapnel from the mess tables hit me right in the eye, right here. And they cut my eye down, lowered my eye down, so I lost my eye, my vision and everything else. And we lost the elevator, and out of that 35, only 12 of us came out alive. I don't know why. And then all of a sudden, we over the loudspeaker, it says, abandoned ship. And how in the world were we going to get up there? So we crawled up the ladders to the hangar deck, and then we had to jump into the water. And I happened to find a towel to hold my eye up like this, because it was just laying down by the skin underneath here, and an optic nerve that held it from just going out altogether. And I had two big holes in my back from shrapnel. So we abandoned ship, and I stayed in the water for about 45 minutes to an hour before I was rescued, because, you know, all the people were abandoning. The destroyer, Mustin, came up and picked me up. Then they took me into the dressing room, and they sewed my eye up with no anesthetic, so I was in such a shock. From there, they took me to the French island called Noumea. Also, we had a hospital ship, Solace, S-O-L-A-C-E, and I was put aboard there. And that's when they were determining what to do with my eye. They weren't worried about my back, and my back hurt more than the eye. But 3 days on board the ship, hospital ship, there was a cargo ship going back to San Diego. So we drew straws who was going to go back. I happened to draw a good straw. There were some married couples there. Married people wanted to go. Said, I'll give you $5,000 for that. I said, well, I'll never see you again, buddy. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. So I went back to, about took us about, I think it was 2 weeks or so before we got to San Diego. And then we put in the San Diego Naval Hospital. And I stayed there for almost 8 months. My parents were given a letter saying that was a MIA, you know, missing in action, because nobody knew where we were, you know, everything's in uproar.
Man, there's so many questions about this. I didn't want to interrupt you because it's so captivating, the story that you told. But I'm going to backtrack with you and kind of take you through some of those steps along the way. So at the time that you guys got hit, you were on that second deck putting fuses on bombs?
Yeah, putting a fuse and bomb and vanes on the bomb. And then we'd ship them up in the elevator to the hangar deck or flight deck, probably the hangar deck first, because they couldn't put the planes on the hangar deck up to the flight deck until the planes on the flight deck took off. And then
and all of a sudden this explosion happens.
Bomb came right down the elevator, which we used to go up and down and ship the bombs, and they exploded. And happened to be in the forward mess hall. The tables are all aluminum or something like that, and they just scattered and then shrapnel hit all of us.
So all of the explosive material and shrapnel within the bomb was added to by all this metal material inside the room. I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes and understand what that felt like. Because, I mean, this is sudden and intense, I imagine. What did it feel like?
You know, I was in shock. Looking around and also seeing how, you know, we told the abandoned ship, find out where the ladder was, because I, you know, I'm not normal. And then seeing some of my good friends dead and find out where the other ones who were not dead, so we all could go up, you know, one at a time, the ladder. And it's, you know, it's chaos.
And your left eye is hanging out of the socket, just hanging on by a thread.
By the skin underneath and an optic nerve, one optic nerve there.
You're wounded in the back.
When they took the shrapnel out of the holes in the back, whatever the utensils they use, they could see my rib. Yeah.
You had to be in a lot of pain.
Oh, well, when you're in shock, you don't know what I was in pain, very much so. Then I had to jump in the water.
Well, you had to get up to where you can jump in the water first. And
also, I had to find a life jacket.
And you probably can't see very straight with only one eye.
That's right. Blood is rolling all over the place. There, your camaraderie is great because people are helping each other. They grabbed me, you know, and led me to where I'm supposed to jump, and we jumped together so I wouldn't go someplace else.
That's not a jump in a wading pool.
They say it's around between 40 and 60 feet. And thank God I wasn't on the flight deck. So that's higher up.
Yeah. Did you have to hold your eye in while you jumped?
I did because I had a towel. I found a towel when I was there, and or some guy might have found it for me. And I lift my eye back up and then hold the towel like that and held it all the time I was there. And they said, make sure when you do get in the water, make sure you float on your back, because your back has more protection than your stomach does. Your stomach is just old fat.
And this may sound like a dumb question or a dumb series of questions. Were you scared? Did you think you were going to die?
Very scared. You know, I've never been through anything like that. I'm a little farm boy. Never even had guns around our house or anything like that. So I don't think about, you talk about a life lesson. I probably learned more the 4 years I was in the Navy than I learned 4 years in college about life. I'm not talking about books now. I'm talking about life. I learned everything. I learned things I never even envisioned I'd ever know, you know, or have to do. But that's, I'm not the only one, you know.
The phrase trial by fire takes on new meaning when we hear a story like yours. So you've gotten out of the fire, out of this sinking ship, but now you're in the water. And there are all kinds of things to worry about in the water. How long were you in the water?
Anywhere from about 45 minutes to an hour.
How long did it feel like?
Eternity. But I looked around, I said, I'm not here by myself. That's the best part of it. If I had to be there by myself, I might have just turned over and said, the heck with it.
How many did you have with there? Do you remember any of them?
On our ship, because there's a lot of ships out there picking up people out of the water. I would say it was about 20 in my particular area.
Did you have anything to help you stay afloat?
Yeah, your life jacket, that's all. Uh-huh. That's all. And, you know, you paddle, dog paddle or something like that.
And I want to get back to your story and how you recovered and all that, but how often over the years, and it's been more than 70 years since this happened, how often do you think about those shipmates of yours who didn't make it?
At first, I didn't think too much about it because I was thinking about myself. In fact, after I came back and went through college and I was teaching, they thought I had post-trauma, and they sent me to a psychiatrist and all that, even after when I was teaching. And I feel sorry for those people, but life goes on, you know. And I met other people because after I got out of the hospital, I had another adventure. Because what they wanted to do was give me a medical discharge out of the hospital. And I said, no, I don't want one, because I signed up for 4 years because I want a college education, and this is the only way I'm going to get it. So I don't want a discharge. So they put on my papers that I could never be shipped outside the continental limits of the United States. So I was put on recruiting duty. Uh-huh. I was sent to St. Louis and recruiting aviation cadets. I never thought about teaching, you know, because I was a social studies major and a PE minor. And I was put in St. Louis. We live in private homes. I go out to in Missouri, Kentucky, Indiana, recruiting at the high schools, just like that guy recruited me.
And this is while the war is still going on.
Oh, the war is still going on, yeah. And I recruited aviation cadets. When the recruiting was closed up, I was sent to St. Olaf College in Northville, Minnesota. Anybody knows about Northville? That's where Jesse James robbed the bank. Anyway, in this small town south of Minneapolis, there's two colleges. St. Olaf is for Navy cadets. On the other side of the river was a Carleton College for Army cadets. And so I was sent to St. Olaf, and that's where I taught English and math. I didn't know I wanted to be a teacher, but by recruiting and going to all these high schools and teaching there, and then when that closed up, I was sent to Miami, Florida, Opa-locka Air Station. It's quite a coincidence, talking about Miami, there was a hurricane coming in, so we had to take our papers with us and stay in a hotel until the hurricane was over. Then I stayed at Opa-locka Air Station, and when my 4 years was up, I said, it's time to go.
Well, that's impressive that that college education meant that much to you, that they're giving you your discharge. You said, no, I want to serve some more. And I'm curious, when you're out there recruiting guys, the war is still going on. In fact, the war is getting worse and worse if you look at it from a casualty perspective. How often did you talk about what had happened to you?
Well, I give them the whole story, like what happened to me. And I said that, but remember, my story is only one. And here's a chance for you to do what I meant to do. I want to go to college. Now, here's a chance for you to go to get a free college education, learn to be a pilot, because if you do survive the war, most of the pilots go on to be pilots for United, you know, all the airlines.
So would you say you were a pretty good recruiter then?
Oh, I thought so, because we had a lot of them at St. Olaf.
So none of them ever said, hey, it almost killed you. Why do I want to go do that?
No, they didn't say that.
As far as the recovery, so, I mean, you get picked up. You know, maybe I didn't spend enough time on that. How great did that feel to get picked up out of that water?
I thought they were never coming. Look, well, there's, 3,000 people in the water. Count the other ships and all that people. How can they handle so many people? I thought, well, when I saw that ship coming towards us, we all hollered, hey, over here, over here. You know, you've seen that on TV, haven't you? Uh-huh. Hey, over here, I'm over here.
Best thing you ever saw?
Oh, man. Better than ice cream.
And unexpected emotions are being stirred again here in 2019 with the discovery of his sunken ship, the USS Hornet. Break time again, but when we come back, more on the injuries he suffered 77 years ago and what meaningful adventure he's going to be taking off on next month. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Put $250 in a savings account and you'll start earning dividends. Who else is going to do that for you? And access? So easy. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Again, the website myeecu.org, or just pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.